From KCFR News, this is Colorado Matters. I'm Ryan Warner. One in six Coloradans lacks health insurance. A new commission created by the legislature is charged with finding ways to improve that statistic and get more Coloradans insured. The group will send its recommendations to state lawmakers by the end of 2007. As part of our continuing series on the uninsured, three members of this new commission join us. Barbara Yondorf is a health policy expert at the Rose Community Foundation. Elizabeth Arenales is a healthcare specialist with the Colorado Center on Law and Policy. And Bill Lindsay leads the Employee Benefit Group at Lockton Companies of Colorado, a health insurance brokerage firm. Welcome to Colorado Matters. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Barbara Yondorf, let's start with you. What would be a good first step toward providing coverage for more Coloradans?
Well, probably the simplest thing is that we have a lot of people who are eligible but not enrolled in particularly public programs. But there are also private programs that people don't realize that they're covered in. So that's a fairly easy first step, is to get people who are eligible for programs enrolled in them.
I assume by that you mean perhaps Medicaid and CHIP for children in the state?
Yeah, Medicaid and the Child Health Plan known as CHIP.
Give me one example of a private program.
Well, there's a lot of people who don't realize that they're eligible for what's called COBRA coverage when they leave a job, that they could continue the coverage that they're on. Some people don't realize that we have a high-risk pool for people who are uninsurable, and that in recent years the high-risk pool now has somewhat of a sliding fee scale for that, so that people with lower middle incomes can actually afford it. One of the problems with the healthcare system is there's such a confusing array of things out and available that people don't realize all that they might be eligible for.
So it sounds like you think the first step isn't to expand current programs, it's to get more people into programs as they stand today.
Well, don't misunderstand me. I think we also need to expand programs. Colorado has one of the leanest Medicaid programs in the country in terms of eligibility for that program, and there's a lot of matching federal dollars that we could draw down to cover more people. But at the same time, just providing coverage, a card, is not enough. One problem that we're talking about is people don't even realize that they are eligible. Another one is that they may not have access just because they have an insurance card and may have trouble actually getting a provider to see them.
Bill Lindsay, your thoughts on the same question?
I agree with Barbara. I think that we need to focus on the existing programs first and see if we can't increase the enrollment there. And I also agree with the point that Barbara made last, which is we need to take a hard look at appropriate provider reimbursement, because the challenge that we have is just having an eligibility card is meaningless and may actually be very frustrating to people when they have trouble finding a provider who's willing to treat them.
Yeah, give me an example of that. I mean, what would that mean for the individual?
What it would mean for an individual is a mother may have children enrolled in the Child Health Plan and shops around to try to find a physician who'd be willing to treat them, and physicians may be limiting the number of either CHIP or Medicaid patients to their practice because of the low rate of reimbursement.
Elizabeth Arenales, the same question. What would you do as a first step in terms of increasing coverage?
Well, not surprisingly, I would agree initially with Barbara and Bill. We have 180,000 more or less children, for example, who are eligible for Medicaid or the Child Health Plan Plus who aren't in those programs, and we ought to get them in. Secondly, I'm going to elaborate a little bit on where Barb was going, which is we do have one of the leanest Medicaid eligibility sort of set of criteria in the country, and I think in order to really build a comprehensive healthcare program for the people of Colorado, we need to start with a strong public program base. Other states that have done this have started with eligibility criteria that are much richer than Colorado's. Currently, Massachusetts, which is on people's minds, has a much higher eligibility level for its Medicaid program and for its Child Health Plan Plus program. So I think we need to look at that and maximizing the federal dollars that we would bring into the state by doing that as well.
Now, I think what we were hearing Barbara at least allude to was drawing more on federal resources to make that happen. The question, of course, is where do you get the money if you want to expand Medicaid, which is already a pretty rapidly growing program?
Well, there are two things. First of all, Medicaid is a federal state match program, and so Colorado gets a 50-50 match for every dollar it puts in. It brings a dollar down in federal money. The problem for Colorado, of course, is where do we get the dollar to put up? And that's a serious problem, and we need to talk about what Coloradans are interested in doing and willing to do within the constraints of Tabor and other limitations on the budget to raise more money.
Barbara?
healthcare is one of the major economic drivers in Colorado. In many communities, it is the leading source of jobs and money in the community. So when we talk about raising some money locally, when we get to that step to draw down those federal dollars, that is a real boon to our economy, in fact. A number of legislators found out in the last legislative session that the single most important thing on the minds of their constituents was affordable health care. So the political will may be there to take a second look at loosening up those expenditure limitations or possibly finding a dedicated revenue stream that we could use to once again draw down dollar for dollar federal dollars for Medicaid, or in the case of our child health plan, we can actually get two federal dollars for every dollar that we spend.
Are you saying that in order to provide closer to universal health care in the state, there may have to be further tinkering with Tabor, or that's at least one avenue?
It certainly is a possible avenue.
Bill Lindsay, what we haven't talked about is possible cost savings. I mean, there could be a tax hike, there could be tweaks to Tabor, efficiencies in Medicaid, but when we think of the money that's being spent on the uninsured, on folks who walk into emergency rooms for things that they could be treated by a doctor for, could we be talking about cost savings here?
We could. I think the thing we have to be careful about is there's this very important issue of timing. If, in fact, we're able to redirect those patients to a more cost-efficient setting for their treatment, there is an opportunity for savings, but it isn't as immediate. And I think what both Elizabeth and Barbara were talking about is more dedicated, obvious sources. But the other piece I think is important to talk about, are there ways that we could improve the efficiency of the administration in terms of things like disease management, case management, and the use of managed care to ultimately make the long-term expenditure in Medicaid less.
So again, let me have you translate that into an individual. What does that mean on the ground?
Well, what it means is you may have somebody with a serious medical condition, but may have additional medical conditions as well. Somebody might be suffering from chronic heart failure, but may also be a diabetic. And to be able to look at those additional complications and treat that person more holistically, as opposed to people who fit in different categories and treat one condition on Tuesday and another condition on Thursday.
Almost a la carte, really.
It is a la carte. Now, the challenge with that is that the department would hasten to say that they have to have additional funding to do that. So it's a concept of possibly making an investment in cost containment in order to reduce the overall cost.
To clarify the point then, Barbara, that you were making, this is going to take some investment at the front end, and in the long run, that may wind up saving the state money.
Yes, I'd agree with that. A number of studies show that. You know, when you look at other countries, what you find is a lot of them provide health care at a per capita cost that's much less than the United States. Part of that is more efficient administration. But another really significant part is that other Western industrialized countries spend a whole lot more on primary care and prevention. They make it very easy to get in to see the doctor. And then where they do more of a squeeze is on the back end, on hospital care, on elective surgeries. If you look at the expenditures in the United States, we tend to do the reverse. We tend to spend a lot of money on emergency care, on acute care. So if we could do more front end, we will reap the benefits. But as Bill said, it takes a few years.
If you're just joining us, we're talking about a new commission that's going to be looking at solutions to the growing number of uninsured Coloradans. With us, Bill Lindsay, who heads up the employee benefit group at Locked In Companies of Colorado. Barbara Yondorf is a health policy expert at the Rose Community Foundation. And Elizabeth Arenales is with the Colorado Center on Law and Policy, and she specializes in health care. Quickly, Bill, back to you. I want to move from the public notion of insurance to the private sector. For those who are not eligible for a Medicaid or for a CHIP, what can your commission do, or what would you do personally, if you can't speak for the whole body, to increase private coverage?
I think there's a couple of things. We need to be thoughtful in trying to assess why individuals who may be employed don't have insurance currently. What are some of the reasons? I think it's also important for us to look at individuals who may be either self-employed, may be partially employed, may be retired but not age 65, individuals who are in a waiting period for their employer and not eligible currently, how we can get those individuals coverage in addition to looking at the employer marketplace.
So would that mean creating almost a new public institution that wasn't necessarily based on income, but on situation, or?
Well, it might be a couple of things. It might be taking a look at the current Medicaid levels for eligibility that we've set to see if it's possible to increase those to a level comparable to other states. That would be one option.
Make that more, a more generous program.
That's correct. The other thing would be to try to work with private insurers to see if it's possible to create a market for those individuals who are otherwise not eligible for employer-based coverage at the current time so that they could obtain it through the private sector.
Well, this is a fascinating question, and Elizabeth Arenales would like your input on it. We know that a good number of the people who are uninsured in this state are employed and would not qualify for Medicaid at this point. And so your thoughts on expanding coverage for those folks in particular?
Well, the data shows that about 80 to 84% of people who are uninsured are actually working, have a member of their family at least who's employed. Those people either aren't offered health insurance coverage or they simply don't make enough money to take up an employer benefit if it's offered. So, A, if we expanded Medicaid or CHIP in some form that allowed people at a higher income level to become eligible, that might bring some of those people in. The problem for working people, though, especially if they're at the cusp, sort of just above Medicaid eligibility but not earning enough to actually afford health insurance, is what we're going to do about them. And I think that's becoming an increasingly large sector of the population, people who are barely making ends meet, are trying to pay their mortgage.
Elizabeth, you're painting one picture of a family that mm-hmm. is struggling to make ends meet and opting not to have health insurance. There's been another picture painted for us throughout the course of our series on the uninsured, and that is the person who probably could put a few bucks away each month for insurance, but instead opts to do other things. And I'm trying to figure out what the balance is between those two pictures.
First of all, you have to understand that health insurance for a family costs $9,000 to $10,000 a year. So say you have an average family that makes $40,000 a year and has a couple of children. Opt may not be the correct term. Yes, there are people in Colorado and across this country who may have a few extra dollars to put towards health care and are putting it there. And then the question, I think, becomes one of what do you do with those families? Some state, Massachusetts, is moving towards having people have to have coverage.
Barbara Yandorf, we just heard from Elizabeth the mention of Massachusetts. Other states like Massachusetts, Vermont, are developing their own plans. Do you think they could be a model for Colorado? Will you be looking to them as you inform the work of the commission?
I suspect we will be looking at other states. We don't need to reinvent wheels. But by the same token, having lived in Colorado for a long time, I know that we need to do something that fits Colorado. We've got counties that have no doctors whatsoever. I don't think that's true in Massachusetts. We've got passes that you can't get over in the winter to get care. So we're going to have to be really sensitive to the very different needs all around the state. If I could, though, I'd like to go back to the previous question that you raised about people opting in or not opting in, because that is really a critical issue, and it really gets at personal responsibility. And what a number of other states have grappled with and are now trying to figure out is, what is that level of personal responsibility that you should have to contribute to the financing of your own care? And is it okay for there to be free riders, people who say, well, I'm just not going to pay for it, and if I get sick, they'll take care of me? But conversely, people who say, I can't possibly afford $10,000 on my $40,000 income for coverage, but if you could provide me with something that I could maybe contribute a couple of $100 a month towards for family coverage. So other states are looking at things like what are called three-share plans. The employer puts in a third, the state puts in a third, the employee puts in a third. So I think it's going to be very interesting for us to look at what other states are doing and look forward to getting ideas for comprehensive reform that are a fit for our state.
Bill Lindsay, efforts at health care reform in Colorado have been tried before. I mean, this is in brand new territory. Is this any different?
Well, I think it's considerably different. In the past, the efforts for reform have been largely focused on the regulatory and the insurance market. I think this approach is much broader, much more comprehensive. And I'd like to come back to a point that Barbara made, and that is that when you look at other states, it is important to be able to look at what they've done. But Colorado does have differences. And one of the major differences that we have when you compare ourselves to Massachusetts is, number one, the number of people employed by small employers.
In our case, much higher in Colorado than in Massachusetts.
Much higher. And because large employers typically already provide insurance, the number of people, the percentage of the population that Massachusetts had to cover was much smaller than ours. So that's a big issue. The second issue is Massachusetts had several streams of income that they could tap to be able to do this expansion. And one of the challenges we have in Colorado is we don't have that opportunity. So we're going to have to look at creative ways to provide that financing.
Barbara, I'll give you the last word here. What would you like this commission to achieve by next year?
Let me just say I'm only speaking personally and not for the whole commission, but I think that if the commission can give a roadmap, come up with a structure and a framework, one that we've had a chance to take around the state, that says this sounds like a roadmap that would lead us to an assurance that everyone has access to affordable coverage and care, then I think I would declare it a success.
We'll call that the second to last word. Bill, we'll give you the last word.
I think the greatest value that the commission can provide is to identify a series of priorities and ask the people to weigh in. If we say there is an opportunity here, but it's going to require an increase in taxes, I'm not presuming that, but as one example, it's one thing to say...
Does that mean you want this on the ballot?
That's certainly a possibility. But I think the commission's goal, therefore, is to provide a series of choices and then to refer that to the legislature to help us determine how that would be played out.
Well, it's been a pleasure speaking with all of you. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bill Lindsay heads up the employee benefit group at Lockton Companies of Colorado. It's a health insurance brokerage firm. Barbara Yondorf is a health policy expert at the Rose Community Foundation. And Elizabeth Arenales is a healthcare specialist with the Colorado Center on Law and Policy.